your efforts. May it continue to prosper in such. Also, I just wanted to make an announcement as well concerning Anna Auld. If you're not familiar with Anna Auld, one of our elders' daughters. University of Florida freshman Anna Auld, West Palm Beach, had the best finish by an American in the 25K open water event at the World Aquatics Championship Thursday in Budapest, Hungary. Auld finished in 5 hours and 25 minutes. I don't even think I can walk for 5 hours and 25 minutes, let alone swim. 15 and a half mile event. The Forest Hill High School alumni was only 2 minutes off the leader in the longest event of the World Championships. Congratulations, Anna. We're rooting for her. She's doing awesome. And I really kind of expected her to be here, but she's not because she's in Paris getting ready to swim again. So, the passages that we read kind of come right after a couple things have taken place. Kind of significant events. I don't want to go into detail too much about them, but there were events that took place. One of them was Herod killed John the Baptist, beheaded him. And Jesus withdraws into a boat for some solitude. I'm sure that was tough for Jesus. They were related. Jesus needed to be alone, a little bit of grief time for him as he hears about the death of his friend, cousin John. But when he lands on the shore, kind of being in the boat in solitude, the crowds are there again. And instead of telling them he's tired and he needed some time, and he has compassion on them. And he heals their sick. And he spent all day with them. And when the evening came, the disciples wanted them to be sent home so that they could go fend for themselves. This is last week's message, right? He said, you give him something to eat. And then he feeds the 5,000. So that's kind of what's happening, right? This is where we find ourselves. And he kind of uses that feeding the 5,000 to teach the disciples kind of a lesson, you know, showing God math, you know, supernatural things, God's showing off. Jesus providing for the people in abundance. Jesus providing the power, but letting the disciples do the ministering. Just like he does with you. Just like he does with the church. And it's kind of at the tail end of that that we start to pick this up. Jesus walking on water. And I've heard all kinds of messages out of this passage. I've preached all kinds of messages out of this passage about the storms of life, about all the crashing waves, about Christ's response to fear. I kind of wanted to focus a little bit more on Peter and what it was that pushed Peter out of the boat and almost made him drown. And you gotta love the impulsiveness and the passion of Peter. Many of us kind of can see ourselves in that, or see ourselves in Peter. Here, he teaches some of the basics about deep faith. So some of the basics about having a deep faith. Not just a, yes, I believe in God. Not that kind of, a lot of people believe in God. A lot of people have different ideas about God, they believe in God. But a kind of faith that's the jump out of a boat in a storm and walk on water kind of faith. A lot of people don't have that kind of faith. It's the kind of faith that says, you know, we want religious freedom, so we're leaving this country and gonna go start another one. I don't care how big the Britain army is, we want our independence. That kind of faith. That kind of step out of the boat faith. Happy Independence Day, by the way. It starts with desire. There's your first one. There's a desire. By the way, that last picture, and you show that last picture there with the scripture reading on it, that's about as close as I ever got to walking on the water. That's Melinda and I on a catamaran as it scales across the water. Pretty nice, pretty nice. So your first one's desire. Taking the leap of faith that allows God to accomplish the impossible in our lives. It begins with a desire. You have to want to know this God. Can't just say, I believe in him. I want to know him and seek him. As he says, seek me, come. Look at Peter's reaction when he sees Christ. He's in the boat, and Jesus is out there in the water. Peter's desire to be with Jesus. Despite everything else that's going on around him, despite any physical limitation, he wanted to be out there where Christ was. He wanted to be in the presence of Jesus, to do what he was doing, to follow him, even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of the impossible. You know, Peter, he's out of his natural mind. Absolutely out of his natural mind. Faith, that circumstance-changing faith, that life-changing, seeing God move faith, begins with an intense desire to want to know and be with God, to be where he is. I've been married for 33 years. And we're kind of funny in some ways that we still like to be together. We enjoy each other's company. We're kind of funny like that. We desire to be together. And I can remember being on the golf course, standing up on the tee box and getting ready to tee it up. And, you know, there's three other guys standing around. And, you know, I wish my wife would take up golf. Oh, all you hear is all the snickering and the laughing. Oh, my God, are you kidding me? I'm out here to get away from that nag. I'm like, whoa. Okay, I guess I'll just stick to golf. It's that kind of wanting to be together, you know? We're best friends. We laugh, we cry, we irritate the heck out of each other. We misunderstand each other. We annoy each other to no end. We pray, we sing, we worship. We misunderstand each other oftentimes. We do life together. It's that kind of, I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be where he is. It's that kind of want to be with. Wherever you are. You can take me anywhere in the world. Where do I want to be? I want to be with Melinda. Take me anywhere in the world. I'm a Christian. Love me some Jesus. That's the desire that's kind of propels Peter out of the boat. He's tired. He's physically run down. He's fearful. The waves are crashing. The wind is howling. He's better off in the boat. He's better off in the boat. Now think about that. He sees Jesus. He's in the boat. He's not going, hey, it's Jesus. Jesus, hurry up. Hurry up. Get over here. Come into the boat. Get over here, Jesus. Come on. Come on, Jesus. You can make it. Come on, Jesus. He's not saying that. He's not saying, hey, get in the boat where it's safe. He says, is that you? Can I come to be where you are? Come. Come. Calls him out. Come on. Calls him out. And when we read these passages of scripture, we can see the amazing things that God can do. It's hard to believe that he can still do that. But the God that parted the sea, the God that raised the dead, the God that walked on water is the same today as he was yesterday, as he will be tomorrow. He hasn't changed. And when you look at the amazing works of God in the lives of people, they all share this thing in common. They were all accomplished by God's power, displayed in the life of someone with faith. Abraham left everything he knew and followed God. He had faith in God, and God called him out. Noah built a boat because he had faith, and God called him out. Moses stood before the most powerful man on earth and demanded the release of the Israelites, and then walked them across the dry bed of the Red Sea with water piled up. Because God called him to it, and God called him out of the boat. What's God calling you to? What's God calling you to? I can promise you this. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It might be challenging. It might be tiresome. It might be scary. It might be in the middle of a storm. You're going to have to really be out of your natural mind. What's God calling you to? The desire of men and women throughout the pages of our scriptures was to be where God was and to be involved with what God was doing. Because of their faith, they accomplished amazing things. They had a desire to serve God, a God with no limits, a God who longs to pour out his spirit upon you, a God that longs to show off. Come on, come on, get out of the boat, come on. A God who will guide his people, that God hasn't changed. Perhaps, maybe, some of you have become lazy and comfortable. Perhaps you think way too much. It's rough out there. The waves are high. People get offended. People get disrespected all the time. I'm not getting out of my boat. There's no way you can make me. I don't even want to. Just remember, when you're wondering why God doesn't seem to be moving, God has not stopped working. Maybe you just decided to stay in the boat. His power has not ceased. Seeing that power in our lives begins with desire. Our desire is for Christ, and we will be able to see how he's already been working among us, how he's already fulfilling and answering prayers. And the Lord's calling you out. See, here's your next slide. You won't be asking him to join you in the boat. You'll be running out to him. Are you asking God to join you in the boat? Or are you jumping out to him? Do you believe that God is at work? Anybody? There's a few of you. Do you believe that God is at work? Do you believe that God is at work in you? See, you don't have to look very far for the work of God and the testimony and the witness thereof of what God is doing. We need to be leaping out of the boat. He's called me out of the boat. Too many of us are calling out to Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, Jesus, come on. And he's saying, come on, come on. Come, you are weary and heavy burdened. You that need healing. You that are struggling financially. You, come, come on, come to me. We're going to have to overcome some fears. Maybe some limitations in our own mindsets, right? You're going to have to be out of your natural mind. See, I don't think you can hang around New Life Alliance Church for very long and not be serious about your faith. Because people that keep showing up here, they have deep-seated ideas. They have deep-seated desire. They have this deep-seated need to want to be with Jesus, to be with the Lord, to be transformed. And this often makes people of modest faith very uncomfortable. When you start talking a little bit too much about Jesus, well, then you've kind of crossed the line. I just know this. We cannot be content while we sit in the boat. We can't expect and demand that God get in with us. So often we want to grow and we want to experience God's power in our life, but we're going to have to step out into what God has called you to. We expect God to work around our schedule and cater to our wants and cater to our needs. When God asks us to step out in faith, and he'll ask you to step out in faith, and you go, yeah, well, that's not in my time frame right now. can't quite do that at this moment. It's a little bit inconvenient for me to pray for my neighbor. It's a little bit inconvenient for me to show up and volunteer and help out. It's not convenient for me. And you expect God to join you in his plans. Our desires for comfort, stability in life, don't rock the boat. For heaven's sake, don't rock the boat. Our desires for God's blessing or for God? See, do you seek the giver or the gift? Do you seek Jesus or the miracle? Are you stepping out of the boat because you want to be with Jesus, or do you want to walk on water? You see the difference? Can you see the difference? It's the desire to want to be with Jesus that gives you the power and the ability to move mountains and walk on water. It's not about walking on water. It's about the desire to want to be with Jesus. It propels you out of the boat. It propels you to be what he's called you to be, to move towards what he's asking of you. When that's our desire, our limitations fade into limitless abilities. Peter would never be able to walk on water if he didn't have a desire for Christ, to be where Christ was. Do we have that hunger to be where he is, to be with him? I trust that you're here today because you have a desire to understand him more, to be with him. I trust that you're here today because you want to experience him and experience the movement and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You want to learn more about him. You want a deeper faith, not just a, hey, yeah, I believe in God too. A deeper faith, one that shows itself strong, where God does amazing things in your life. A deeper faith requires action, not lip service. And there's your next one, action. You can have all the desire you want, but it requires action. Desire is where the walk on water faith begins, but it must be accompanied with the action. Peter called out to Christ. He desired to be with him. Is it you, Lord? Can I come be with you? Come on. To all the other disciples' astonishment. Hey, Peter, hey now. We love Jesus too, but don't go overboard. Easy. Are you out of your natural mind? Yeah. I see different. I think different. I walk different. I act different. I am different. Against all logic, against all common sense, against every instinct in the body and the flesh, Peter stepped out of the boat way beyond God math. This goes into God physics. There's one truth that you'll find that's consistent when God calls us people to step out in faith. You will always have to make some adjustments to your life. You're always going to have to make some adjustments to your life, to your thinking. Fear's going to have to be overcome. Priorities are changed. Career paths can be altered. Our plans, our ideas become his plans and his ideas. Have you surrendered? Have you completely laid down your life? Have you died to yourself, your ideas, and your plans to his plans and his ideas and what he's calling you to? Those things that we think are limitations, those things that we look at as hurdles, they're removed. They're overcome. And we're able to accomplish incredible things for the kingdom of God. There are many people who think that the desire for Christ, that begin with their desire for Christ and to be where he's at and do what he's doing, and then God calls them out and they can't get out of the boat. They just can't follow through with the action. Yep, I believe in God, but I still have a mistress on the side. I believe in God, but I'm a pretty habitual liar. Yeah, I believe in God, but I gambled the baby's money away, you know. Yeah, I believe in God, but, you know, envying my neighbors. Yeah, I believe in God, but I covered that boat next door, man. Woo-wee! See, you got the desire, you got some knowledge. It's there, but it doesn't produce action. Whatever that is, the desire to serve God is meaningless if you don't follow when he calls, if you don't do what it says. Do not be hearers only of the word and so deceive yourselves. Many people are deceived. They're hearers of the word, but they are deceived because they do not do what it says. Here's your next slide. Action. Without action, desire's worthless. It's worthless. It's meaningless. Can you begin to understand a little bit closer now how James might write something? What good is your faith? I have deeds. Can you understand a little bit more about James now? You say you have faith. I show my faith by what I do. See, James? Not just talking, doing. Not just the desire, but the action. I don't want a worthless faith. Do you? I don't want a worthless faith. See, people know it requires action. They know it requires action, but very few put forth the effort. Why is that? It's as many as there are individuals. Why? They never move. You have to take steps to make things happen. Desire to go to church won't get you there. Action will. Get up, get dressed, and get to church. Desire to have a degree won't get you there. Get up, get dressed, get to class, do your homework. Desire to have a job won't get you one. Action will. Get up, get dressed, fill out an application. Maybe several. Desire to have a good marriage won't get you one. Get up. Get dressed. Say, I love you. Action will. Desire to be the fastest American swimmer? Don't get it done. Action will. Get up, get dressed, and get in the water. Get out of the boat. Desire to love your neighbor as yourself? Won't get you there. Action will. Desire to offer forgiveness? Doesn't get you there. Action will. Desire without action, worthless. Lip service. Talk. All you do is talk. I never see you walk the walk. My couch, way too comfortable. My office, way too plush. Ice cream tastes way too good. Sleep, so sweet. I have plenty of reasons. I have plenty of excuses and no results. Get out of the boat. Jesus said, come out, Peter. Come on, be with me. And Peter did. His desire led him to action. Look at all the reasons you got for not getting out of the boat. Hey, you know the weather's rough out there. Yeah, but Jesus is calling you out. Yeah, but the waves, they look so big. But Jesus is calling you out. Oh, the water is so turbulent, you know, and cold. I'm not a good swimmer. But Jesus is calling you out. Oh, man, we have lots of folks coming out of the closet and walking down Main Street. We need some Christians coming out of the boat and walking on waters of faith. It's so hard to love my neighbor. Yeah, but Jesus is calling you out. It's so hard to give forgiveness. Yeah, but Jesus is calling you out. I don't know that I have grace to give. Did God give you some? Give it away. Well, I don't know if I can have mercy on those people. Heaven knows. Did you get some mercy from God? Give it away. In our lives, we have all sorts of reasons not to get out of the boat. The task seems impossible. The people are so mean. It's comfortable in the boat. What are the other people going to say? I can't even imagine what those other disciples were thinking. He's out of his natural mind. We need to recognize the excuses that we have. Keep us in the boat when God's calling you out. Here's your next slide. The disciples did not expect Jesus to come to them that way. They didn't expect Jesus to come to them that way. No way. Neither do we. We expect him in the form of good sermons. We expect Jesus in, you know, peaceful hymns and Easter Sundays and quiet retreats. We expect to find Jesus in our morning devotionals, church suppers, meditation, prayer at the altar. Do we ever expect to see Jesus in the storms of life, in the midst of high gas prices and inflation? Do you expect to see Jesus in the midst of financial collapse, in the midst of war? Do you expect to see Jesus in the midst of a pink slip and a lawsuit? Some of us think that God has left us in the boat. He's calling you out of the boat. We never expect to see him in a storm, but it's in the storms when he does his finest work. That's when he has your attention. We cry the hardest when we fear the most. We cry the hardest when we're in despair. We cry the hardest when we're desperate. We cry the hardest when we find ourselves in this dark space and dark place, surrounded by chaos and evil all the time. Please, Lord, I just want to be where you are. I just want to be with you. Save me. Come on. Come on. You can't stay there. Come on. Why do we expect Jesus to show up in all the quiet church altars and not in the earth-shattering, emotionally impacting loudness of life? He's right there in the midst of all the rudeness and the teasing and the confrontation. He's there. Why do we think that Jesus is blessing us only when it's good? Everything's prosperous. Jesus is blessing us because it's all good. Jesus is everywhere. All present, all the time. In the midst of your storm, in the midst of your inflation and high gas prices and loss of job, he's in the midst of your life. Are you a believer? He's in the midst of your life. God is at work within you. And God is at work right now. If we're going to have any kind of deeper faith that's found in the passages and the pages of the scripture, the call of God and the command of God, really should be enough for us to get us out of the boat. It should be enough. I told you, and I have expressed to you, love your neighbor as yourself. Are you just going to sit in the boat? I've expressed and shared with you that you might want to forgive those that trespassed against you. Are you just going to sit in the boat? If we understand the ways that God wants to involve us and to work through us, and we're asking him, literally, you know, Jesus, I want to be with you. Can I be with you? Can I be where you're going? We're going to have to be ready to take some actions. We're going to have to be ready to take some steps. And that's an amazing thought to me. Just that God would even include you in his master plan for the world. That he would even include you to spread some grace to your neighbor and offer some forgiveness to your child. It's amazing that he would even think to do that in us and through us. That this God even cares enough to say, come, be a part. This is my plan. Join me. God has always worked through the faith of those who desire to be with him and they're willing to follow and act on their desire. Yeah, Pastor. Peter had that desire. Yeah, he even took some action, got out of the boat. And he pretty much drowned, sank like a stone. Yeah, you did. Because you know this one. He lacked that one last ingredient. Focus. Focus. There's your last third one. Focus. Focus. He lacked focus. He had the faith to jump out of the boat to join where Jesus was. Then when he realized, you know, this is not something I should be doing, sank like a stone. And what did Jesus say to him? Ye of little faith, why did you doubt? His focus was on the supernatural. He was out of his natural mind. His focus was on the supernatural. And his focus was on Jesus. And then when he got back in his natural mind, he started thinking too much. You of little faith. Instead, he focused on the way things are normally are, right? People don't walk on water. That's not what propelled him out of the boat. All of that fear, all of the ways of the world and the natural order of things swallowed him up. I'm gonna suck him down. That's what's happening. The ways of the world, fears of the world, the chaos of the world, distracting you, swallow you up, pull you down. We need to understand that when we jump out onto the water, there's going to have to be many things. There are going to be many things that are going to try and turn our attention away from Jesus. They're just going to try to turn our attention away from trying to live a holy, supernatural, spirit-filled life. Because this natural world is going to continue to hound you, and your flesh is going to continue to hound you over and over and over. When God is working in the supernatural, it's going to defy what you think can happen. You're going to have to stay focused. And if you take your eyes off them, you will go under. There's no ifs or maybes, or you will go under. Because he's the one who's the light. He's the only one who gives life. He's the only one who can impart upon you the power to be able to do that which he asks of you to do. Looking at anything else, anyone else, you've lost your focus. If Christ has called us, then we need to fix our eyes upon him and him only. Ready? Not to turn to the left. Not to turn to the right. But to keep our eyes focused on him. Deep faith says, I don't care what things look like. I don't care what could happen. I'm trusting in my God and I'm trusting in Christ. My desire is for him and for him only. All my actions will be based on what he's asking of me. All my thoughts are not my thoughts anymore. They're his thoughts. All my ways are not my ways anymore. They're his ways. I have to die to myself. Pick up the cross. And walk the ways of the cross. And if you want this kind of faith, if you want this kind of focus, like Peter, you're going to have to take the initial step. But far too many people bail out when they see the trouble. We lose our focus. We get distracted by all the stuff that's around us. Listen, my dog loves me. I've seen this dog look at me like with such love. I've never even understood how deep this dog loves me. I am his master. He will follow me from room to room. If I get up, he gets up. If I start to walk, he follows me where I'm going. If I walk out the backyard, he's right there beside me, walking with me. I'm his master. All I got to do, and he'll come right over and be with me until... Squirrel. For him, it's a Lizzie. Until he sees a Lizzie. There's a gecko under that rock. Hey, there's a gecko under that rock. And he will stick his nose in that rock. He has been distracted by this Lizzie. It doesn't matter. Come on, let's go. Nope. Right here. Right here. And he'll go, arf! Arr! Don't you know? Don't you know? Move the rock. Don't you know? I know my dog can focus. I know you can focus. Don't tell me kids got ADHD when they spend 6 hours on their cell phone. I know you can focus. I've watched you do it for hours. You know how to focus. What's your Lizzie? Squirrel. Porn. Money. TV. Politics. What gets you distracted? What takes your eyes off Christ? All of a sudden, you're not looking at him. You're starting to think about the world and the ways of the world and how much this world means. You've lost focus. You've gone back to your natural mind, and you're going to sink. That describes a lot of Christians when God is trying to get their attention and he's calling them. Hey, come join me. Nope. Focused. I'm focused on my distraction. There's a Lizzie under that rock. There's money to be made right there. If I just gamble a little bit more, I can do it. There's some good sex in there. I know there's some good sex in there. But over here. No. Over here. I want to stay over here. See, they never lock eyes with Jesus. They never lock eyes with Jesus. They're too distracted by the word. Oh. Someone, squirrel, someone over here. Now listen, this is important. I want all of us to be able to understand this. It's hugely important. The Lord wants me to make sure that you know this. Jesus doesn't turn, he doesn't turn his eyes away from us in disgust. Or give up on us, or leave us to suffer the consequences of being distracted. Here's your next slide. See, Jesus has his eyes locked on us, even when we have looked away. You understand what I'm saying? Do you feel me, church? That's the love of Christ on you. That's the love of Christ for you. I'm not encouraging that you look away. All I'm telling you is when you find yourself and your nose buried in a rock looking for a Lizzie, Jesus got his eyes on you still. I don't leave my dog there with his nose buried in a rock. You know what I have to do? Got to pick him up and say, this way, man. Keep going that way. Jesus did not leave Peter there to drown. Serves him right taking his eyes off me. He should just drown in the ways of the world. He doesn't do that. He didn't do that to you. And the passage has this word in the NIV three times in those 11 verses or 10, 11 verses. Immediately. Immediately. Immediately God grabbed him. Immediately God was with him. Immediately God reached out and saved him. Jesus reached out and caught him and helped him back into the boat. When we lose our focus and when we allow other things to begin to distract us and keep us from joining Jesus and where he's at, we might miss out on the supernatural. But Jesus is there. He will pick us up and put us back into the boat. And guess what he's going to do next? Get out of the boat! Come on! Get out of the boat! Come on! Try again. You have a deeper faith? Come on, do it. He doesn't give up on us. And as we learn to focus on Christ, our faith begins to go deeper as we see what God can do in us and through us. This is what begins to convince your faith and grow your faith. When you start to see God doing amazing things in your life that only God can do. Your witness and your testimony cannot be unhinged, and it cannot be changed by any of the circumstances going on around the world. All you want to do is praise God and testify about what God can do. And I don't even want to look away. I just want to keep my eyes on you. All this is a mess. All I see is peace, comfort, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love. Why do I want to look anywhere else? Are you looking at this world and the waves and the wind and the storm? Are you in your natural mind? I'm calling you. you, get out of your natural mind and look at the supernatural love of Christ, and you will walk in a peace that is above this world. You will walk in a comfort that is above this world. Do you want to know that kind of faith that gets you out of the boat? No matter how crazy God's instructions seem, no matter how logical they might seem, no matter how much you're made fun of, how many times you're questioned, focus on God. Amazing things happen when you stay focused on God. Desire, action, faith, those are the ingredients of a life-changing faith. That's the basis of a deep faith that got Peter out of the boat. That's the kind of faith that we see part seas and move mountains. The faith that sees God bend the limits of nature and make the impossible a reality. It's a miraculous faith that boggles the natural mind. And all those people that are stuck in the world, it boggles them. They question it and watch. It frightens most of them because they never expect to see such power, such faith, such grace, such mercy, such forgiveness, such love. You know, I was trained as a paratrooper in the United States Army, and I was trained to jump even when I didn't see the ground. How high are we? Don't matter, airborne. Yeah, we sure were over land. Don't matter, airborne. Green light, go! What kind of faith are you going to show? What kind of faith are you going to have? You're going to have it all plotted out. You're going to have to think too much. Let me pray for you as we move into communion. Father in heaven, I pray your word just saturate us, flow over us. And Father, would you inspire us to a deeper faith, a faith of action. Father, may our lives demonstrate the power of God in our lives. Work within us and work through us to bring yourself glory, that we might be a testimony what God can do in the midst of someone's life. Here we are, Lord, laying it all out, giving it all over. Bless us, honor us, as we humble ourselves before you. Aid us to not be distracted by this world. Give us a supernatural focus. Help us get out of our natural mind and focus on you. With thanksgiving and praise and adoration, come before you. Amen. Our head elder will be doing communion for us this morning. Mr. Jess.
Good job, sir. Good morning. Good morning, church. And I must say this, and I'm sure I will get everyone to agree, God has powerfully spoken to each and every one of us in this congregation this morning through his servant. Amen? Powerful, powerful message. And like we have our Wednesday morning studies, we have our Wednesday evening studies, and we scratch our heads. Okay, we've discussed it here, there, and everywhere. Like he said, he's preached many messages on that. And we never know what our pastor is going to come up with. And he did the same thing again this morning. So whatever we might discuss and all that, it might be close, but God gives this man purpose and vision, and I'm so thankful for that. This morning, we are preparing for communion, and I want to give you an opportunity to prepare for communion. If you have one of these, sometimes you may struggle with it, but I am going to read just a few scriptures from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about the Lord's Supper. So be prepared. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So Jesus, I need to be prepared myself, took the bread. And he blessed the bread. Father, as we ask you to bless this bread, Father, this bread that represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, on this evening as he was gathered with his disciples, I don't know if they quite understood what was going to happen. But Father, we know we're on this side of the cross. Father, we know that this bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was hung on that cross, that he willingly suffered, that he willingly surrendered it. Father, that we may have life and life eternal. We thank you, Father, for this bread. And we thank you, Jesus, we thank you. Let us partake together. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper and saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Just as he did with the bread, it says that Jesus blessed the cup. Father, we lift up the cup. The blood of Jesus Christ, the new covenant. And we ask, gracious God, that you bless. Father, that we would never, never, never forget that this is the blood of Jesus Christ. It represents the blood of Jesus Christ. That precious blood, God, that flowed from his forehead to the bottom of his feet and dripped to the ground. His blood was shed for each and every one of us that we could have eternal life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you for going to the cross, giving your body, shedding your blood for each and every one of us. Let us partake together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As often as we partake of this bread and this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we will never forget the Lord's death. And we're looking forward to his coming again. Amen? Amen. Amen. And that's what our communion is about, where we can commune to Almighty God and to the Lord Jesus Christ and just praise him and thank him that he willingly went to the cross to surrender his whole being for each and every one of us. And it should reach deeply into our hearts as we partake of bread and the cup that represents. So yes, we will never forget. How can we forget? How can we forget the Lord Jesus Christ? Help us, God, to never forget you, to walk away or forsake you. Ever how you can do that as a Christian, I don't know. But may we always keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ. He's the one that's paid the price for each and every one of us. May God bless you, my brothers and sisters. And remember, like I said a moment ago, he's doing what? He's coming again. Amen. God bless you.